You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
But I am now joined by designer and author Mick Abbott, someone whose deep connection to nature could not be understated. Here to chat about his book, Designing with Nature, and the public lecture tonight at the Otago Polytech. Designing with Nature takes you on an exploration of the relationship between people, creativity, and the living world. The book details how nature can act as a co-creator, shaping our perceptions and actions as well as our future here in Aotearoa. Good morning, Mick. How are you?
Oh, great, thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, the booth isn't too hot. I haven't boiled you like a lobster accidentally.
No, it's lovely. We're up in the snow up on Mount Cargill, so it's nice to be somewhere warm.
It's good. Now, we'll just jump straight into it. The book was released this year. Before we dive into the topics and content, how was your experience with putting it together and getting it published?
Well, we published it ourselves. I'm part of a group called Wild Lab, and so I've been working on this book for quite some time. The difficulty when you're doing your own project is sometimes there's not someone hassling you from behind, so it's been a bit of a challenge just getting that together. But this year we made a real big push, and yes, it's only actually coming out this month. So yeah, pretty exciting to see it, you know, all printed and ready to go.
Yeah, and the printing's gorgeous. You've kind of got this, I don't know what you'd call it, like inside flap thing going on. I wish I knew anything about book design terminology right now. But it's got some tomatoes on the front. They are tomatoes, right?
They're definitely not tomatoes. No, they're native seeds.
There you go.
And I've got on one side, there's two different types of seeds there, Mickey and Karamu, I think. And, you know, the idea with design works on taking different things and bringing them together in innovative ways. Mm. And with nature, we wanted to sort of just to show that difference on both sides, yeah.
Wow, and I've been schooled already. Now, the book comes out at quite a pivotal time. Conservation and conservation land in Aotearoa has been on the mind of thousands of Kiwis in light of proposed changes within the Conservation Amendment Bill. This idea of the relationship between people and nature, do you think it's something that's getting stronger or weaker in Aotearoa?
I suppose in this country we've had a long conversation with nature, and you know, I'm sort of an age where I think we're passing on perhaps not really the best choices in terms of that nature conversation. Like, you know, in this country, what I grew up in is that we either had to preserve everything and keep it separate from people, or we go in and develop, you know, the hell out of it. Mm. And I mean, there's a balance in between all of that. But really, what we have to navigate is how, as people, are we part of nature in this country? And how can we, and what we do with it, strengthen nature and create great experiences, but create an economy based upon looking after what deeply belongs here.
Mm, mm. You drop in and out of architecture school. You end up driving taxis in Sydney to save up for tramping trips, and then design backpacks and sleeping bags for Ferry Down. And here you are now producing this book and developing Wild Lab. What a storied life.
Well, you know, I'm very lucky. But I suppose, you know, it all makes sense looking in the rearview mirror. But going ahead, I mean, you know, I had some great times here at Otago, at the Union, at the tramping club here, you know, AUTC. And I suppose, you know, in my 20s, I was more of a tramping, climbing bum than, you know, and university was something that at times I struggled with and so sort of, you know, needed a bit of space from. And so, yes, almost 10 years to get my degree. I had an awesome time in the hills through that. Yeah.
Amazing. And talk to me a little bit more about Wild Lab.
Yeah, well, I suppose like in design, you know, usually people organise a design group around, you know, like architecture or product design or whatever, and it's revolves around what you produce. Mm. Wild Lab actually says, hey, we'll do buildings, we'll do communication apps, anything like that, as long as it's about connecting people with nature. So we're a design group that our focus is actually the value which we do, which is connect people with nature rather than just say, here, we'll do another building or we'll do another product.
Yeah. And you've had some very serious experiences which are detailed in the book, such as getting caught in an avalanche, which is pretty scary stuff. How did the experience like that reshape or grow your understanding of the natural world and your existence within it?
Well, I suppose, you know, it's part of a progression of how you see yourself in nature. I mean, to begin with, it was kind of a testing ground where I was trying to challenge myself to find my own limits, and sometimes I got rather too close to finding what those limits were. But what comes through, and hopefully what comes through in the book, is a sense that actually our environment, nature, landscape, the words are sort of arbitrary, really, but out there, it's a living presence that really has a huge capacity to shape us. And not just personally, though it certainly has shaped me personally, but also I think as a country, you know, what deeply belongs here should be a much stronger part of the things we make, the things we produce, the things we export, and even the type of tourism that we offer, rather than saying, come and look at the spectacular scenery.
Yeah.
You know, why not invite people into being part of that journey we're on to really, you know, make it great? You know, like people come here not just to see the way the world was, they want a glimpse of how it could be. And nature in this country is at the heart of that.
And we've got some pretty good PR in New Zealand, eh? Where I think people think of it in this idea of a green place and a forward-thinking place about nature and deeply connected with nature, because so much of our tourism relies on the beautiful landscapes. But it's a fractured relationship, because that's not necessarily the truth. There's lots that we don't take care of, but we profit off of it with our tourism. We profit off our nature while still not caring about our nature, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you go look at the sort of, go to the bookstore, look at the books about Aotearoa, you know, spectacular scenery, the trouble is, the challenge is they don't have pictures of people in them. They don't. We find it very hard in this country to imagine ourselves in these amazing places. We think it's more pure when we're not there. And I think, you know, if you go out into the middle of, you know, far corners of Fiordland, it's nature's under a lot of stress because there's no pest control. There's a lot of things going. But then you look at Otago Peninsula, you know, possum free. You know, so people are actually part of the nature story of this country. And I think that's the sort of the shift we have to be part of. And I think that's the exciting thing for the next generations coming through, that there is another way of looking at ourselves in this place rather than just saying we've got to preserve it or develop it.
Yeah. And you've worked on so many projects, and that's kind of what the book is about, is connecting your life story with the design projects you've worked with in conjunction with nature. You've worked alongside community groups, DOC, iwi, and beyond. I don't want to spoil too much because I do want people to go and get the book, and we will be giving away a couple copies. But can you give us one or two of those projects that you've worked on that you've loved?
Well, I mean, love them all, really.
It's great answer.
it's difficult, and each one, I suppose, you know, I had a career, like you said. You know, I was you know, product designer for Ferrydown. We did creative kits and things like that, and then I came back to university and sort of did a whole lot of study. And the thing that I struggled with was actually how do we test these ideas, because in university we're very good at having the ideas, but the proof is in actually how we transfer that back into the world. And so all of these projects have come about from us working with community groups or real people who've got who are motivated in the same way that we are. The thing I really want to point out too is that the projects that are in the book, they're not just me, and because while I've been doing those, I've been, you know, teaching and had a separate group, Wild Lab, and what have you. A lot of this work has come from students and just recent graduates that we've employed into that, because it's that bright young thinking that is actually, you know, the bit that excites. So, yeah. I mean, one project that I talk about is, you know, we did it with Ngāi Tahu Farming, where they came to us and said, oh, you're landscape architects, could you sort of make our dairy farm driveways, gateways look look cool. And we thought, well, actually, the real challenge, and you know, like the scale of the dairy farm is when you fly into Christchurch, you can see it down there. And what we said is, why don't we put a distributed native forest through it? And so, you know, a million trees threaded through the farm in a way that both supports the farming but also builds biodiversity.
And do you see a future in which things like that can become part of legislation as well, you know?
Well, I think what's important is legislation, you know, I mean, everyone's got different views on that, but ultimately the purpose of legislation is not to tell the environment what to do. It's to tell us as citizens of this country what we need to do to care for our environment, not in a way that we're sort of looking after it like from above, but in a way that it can better look after us.
And the public lecture tonight at the Otago Polytech, what will that look like for anybody who's interested in going along?
Well, I'm a designer, and so I'm sorry if you like seeing text on PowerPoint slides, because it ain't like that. you know, I like to show pictures and have a conversation about those. You know, there's some food and, you know, people can get a drink and what have you. But it's really a chance to have a conversation. But, yeah, and certainly in the book as well, you know, I'm sorry if people want lots of references and things like that. They can track down that sort of stuff, because ultimately it's about the ideas. And and I'm a visual person, and I think sharing ideas visually is what I enjoy. And so, yeah, it'll be quite visual.
Yeah, I love that about the book, because I'm sort of the same. I love reading, but with something like this, I think you need a picture to grab onto. And it's a very visual book as well as, you know, you're reading it and you're gaining information from the words, but alongside that there's pretty much a picture on almost every page.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's how I think too. And what I like about images is that they're not so linear. You're not sort of told you must think this or must think this from you know. In writing you can be quite argumentative or persuasive, but in an image you're opening it up for people to take their own meaning from that and their own ideas and insights from it.
Totally. And you touched on before talking about fresh talent and working with young designers. How does that shake up your practice or inform your practice now, having those fresh ideas?
Well, I think it's really about how do we enable that next generation of people doing that. So in some ways it's less about, I mean, when I went to university I sat in the back of the lecture theatres and thought, well, that's rubbish, and used that process to that disagreeableness of myself to work out what I really think. And in many ways that's what I hope with this is I do feel we're on a journey and I'm partway along that, so my motivation is not necessarily to how can I teach people, but actually how can I lay a challenge out where people push it in ways that maybe I might struggle to imagine or think of. You know, it's an exciting time.
And in a way that is a kind of caregiving, like we are caregivers of the earth, that we need to pass on information to a next generation and keep that flame, keep those ideas continuously sparking and developing, as well as reminding ourselves that, you know, the earth needs us now. It does a lot by itself, but it also needs us.
Well, yeah, we need to see ourselves as a small part within that, supporting something that's much bigger and has a much more powerful presence. I mean, I'll make a big plug for design as well, because design uses the future to imagine what we should be doing today, and design is always a positive investigation of what might be able to be done. So rather than looking at all the issues and all the problems, it actually says, well, we live in this complexity, but how are we going to navigate that? What are some things we can do? And I suppose that's the challenge I see for the next generation of designers, is to carry that on.
And what do you hope readers gain from this book?
I think first the main thing I hope that they gain from this book is that they see that actually we're part of nature. We can't see nature as something separate to us and that somehow it's purer without us. We have to see that we're within that system, and in this country, within all of our parks and native species and things like that, that we are of that as well, and we each need each other.
Beautiful. And my last question, a little bit more of a silly one. What does an environmental designer listen to? What kind of music?
What kind of music? All sorts of music. You know, everyone has pivotal music in their minds. For me, I'm a sort of an 80s Britpop tragic. You know, I'm sorry, but I've got sort of the complete catalogue of the Smiths at home and have had for a long time. But then I like to dilute that with Prince. So, you know, it depends how I'm feeling. So,
Yeah. The Smiths is a funny one, eh? It's like you put it on and you can tell that everybody's enjoying it, but inside of themselves they go, oh, my God, I just wish that it wasn't Morrissey.
Oh, yeah, he sort of changed. But, I mean, I just like his sense of humour because he doesn't mean all of that. But he's just sort of like saying, yeah, don't be so sort of just, you know. Yeah, anyway. I mean, if you're not so Smiths, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the
totally,
Cutter.
Totally.
Fantastic song.
We'll cue some of that up later in the program. Thank you so much for joining me, Mick.
Thank you.
The public lecture is at the Otago Polytechnic Hub tonight at 5:30. And it is with in conjunction with the School of Design and DESIS. Exciting stuff. We hope to see you there. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
Ka kite. That was author and designer Mick Abbott from Wild Lab on the program talking about his upcoming book, Designing with Nature. Stick around to find out how you can take one of our two copies home with you. I highly recommend it. It's a great book. Until then.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.